Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, let's hope you don't have too many sneezes coming on, but you know, it's kind of that season. I hear people coughing and sneezing and so on. And what would we do without that tissue? And most of us don't say we're going to use a tissue. It's like a lot of other brand names. I'm guessing most everybody says they're going to use a Kleenex, even if it's out of the Puffs box. We probably say it's going to be a Kleenex. And, of course, that's who started all this, are the Kleenex people, and that's Kimberly Clark. And they were a paper manufacturer back in the 1920s, and they had this paper that they didn't know what to do with. And so they're thinking about, okay, how can we use this? And when it started, it was envisioned as a disposable cleaning tissue, not for the noses necessarily, not for the sneezes. So when the company was working on how to market it, they thought about women's needs, including the increased use of cosmetics. Now, this is in the 1920s. They hoped that the tissues could be convenient replacement for the unsightly, and I just go, oh, cold cream towels that hung in many 1920s bathrooms. Those must have been ugly towels. In 1925, the first Kleenex tissue ad appeared in Ladies' Home Journal as the new secret of keeping a pretty skin as used by famous movie stars. And so that was a promotion that, you know, women paid attention to. And it was trademarked Kleenex. They think that's a part of that cleansing, is that middle part of it. And it was launched in 1924 as a cold cream or makeup remover, a disposable substitute for face towels. In 1925, as we said, the first ad appeared in Ladies' Home Journal as the new secret. And, of course, they included some of the movie stars and so on in terms of, you know, you want to kind of look like them. But McCall's, Good Housekeeping, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, Cosmopolitan, Red Book, all of those magazines carried the ad, so they kind of covered the waterfront there. In 1927, ads began featuring screen and stage stars to say, I use this product, you know, to endorse it. And then around this time, Kimberly Clark's head researcher started using the tissues in place of a handkerchief to help with his hay fever symptoms. He brought the simple but brilliant idea to market Kleenex tissues for sneezing and other nose needs instead of cold cream. So that became the major advertising launch. And sales of Kleenex tissues doubled the first year of this new handkerchief strategy. Instead of being a product just for women, it now served men, women, and children. And, of course, Kleenex is still right up there at the top with the brand, probably the other brand that you think of, if you think about tissues, is Puffs. There are others on the market, but those two certainly corner the market. And Consumer Reports got into the act in terms of testing facial tissues for strength and for softness. And those two that we're used to came to the top. There are a number of other brands, mostly store brands, that you can purchase, but even they don't live up to their name. One of the names was Soft and Strong. It was maybe one of the bottom of the list in terms of being soft and strong when Consumer Reports tested it. So don't rely on a name's claim. And, you know, you have lots of choices. Used to be, you know, there was one kind. Well, now there's many kinds in numbers of boxes and colors of boxes and kinds of packages, with lotion, without lotion, with aloe vera, even with menthol, so you can, you know, use it on your nose and breathe in the menthol as well as blowing your nose at the same time. So there are lots of choices to make. But if you want the softest and the strongest, then you still go with one of those two top brands. What else do you use a facial tissue for? You know, blowing your nose, obviously. But think about in your life what else you might have used that for. The uses could be plenty. Moms often, you know, kind of spit on them and wipe the something off, the chocolate off of their kid's mouth or whatever. You know, it's sort of a cleanup little tool. And some people grab them when they're going to clean their glasses. That's actually a no-no. Even the product says don't do that. It's not good for your lens. It can scratch the lens. And if you happen to grab one that has lotion on it, what you have is a really messy glass for your eyeglasses. So get other cleaning. There are other options there for cleaning your glasses. Don't use those facial tissues for that. And it seems like it would be perfectly a good idea to flush them down the stool. Not recommended unless you want to tear them apart a bit. Because of their makeup, they do disintegrate much more slowly than regular toilet paper. So not a good idea to flush them. You know, one once in a while is not going to be a big deal. But if you do that all the time, it could cause a problem for you. So not a good way to get rid of them. You can burn them. Of course, you can put them in your recyclables. No, don't put them in your recyclables. But they do eventually disintegrate if they are put into the ground. But if you have the option to burn them, that's not all of us have that option, but that's a good thing to do with them too. Talking about uses, think back to when you were in high school or when you helped high schoolers or people who are making floats. Did you ever make flowers out of facial tissues? You know, those colored ones that were on the market or are on the market. Hey, you folded them just right and they made really poofy, fluffy flowers that were relatively inexpensive, and you could cover quite an area on a float with those little flowers. So lots of uses for those tissues. But as I said, don't use them to clean your eyeglasses. Now, I talked about, you know, when it started in the United States with Kimberly-Clark, but just like so many things in our lives, that wasn't the first facial tissue. There's some history that says they started in Japan centuries ago, the 17th century, and they called them, they were described as soft, silky papers the size of a hand, which they never used twice. So long history, long before Kimberly-Clark thought them up. They obviously were used in lots of places. What about how many are used? You think about how many tissues do you use in a day? Well, it probably depends on a lot of factors. The weather may be one. If your nose runs more in the winter, probably depends on your activity and, of course, on your health. If you have a bad cold, they're probably being used much, much more than if you're, you know, doing just fine. The estimate is, and I'm not sure how they estimate this, probably based on sales, you know, how many boxes of 100 or 200 or whatever size you buy. 500,000 to 800,000 per day is the estimate. And, of course, they're used around the world. It's not just the United States that uses facial tissues. So it is an international product. We originally said that they came about because there was an excess paper product at Kimberly-Clark. Well, of course, those paper products come from trees. And for the facial tissues, they don't just use any old tree. They're kind of fussy about what kinds of trees they use. And spruce, fir, aspen, maple, and eucalyptus are some of the trees that are usually used to make this paper product. Usually the surface is made, you know, you have to have some kind of strength, so they have to think about the strength when they're manufacturing these. But then the surface of it is often treated differently, physically differently, not just chemically, to make them softer. Most tissues are 2 or 3 ply, and back in that testing time when they tested the strength, some of the 2 ply were stronger than the 3 ply. So it just really comes down to what you think you would like to use. How many rooms do you have a box of tissue in? Well, at my house, it's almost every room. Keep them handy. because they are one of the handiest things ever thought up. And there's the story on facial tissues. And until next time, here's a thought. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there.